go out and preach at other places, I've noticed one thing that I don't notice here. And that is usually there's a clock right in front so the pastor can see the clock at all times. So I'm glad there's not a clock here. And Ed already knows what I'm going to say beforehand. So if I do get carried away and there is no clock, this is what you do. And then that'll mean that I have to quit talking. So I was going to ask Dave to do that, but Ed already jumped in front. And Dave, you know, has some shoulder issues. So, Dave, maybe you just raise one hand or something like that. I am excited to be with you this morning to bring God's word to you through me or in spite of me. I would personally like to thank Pastor Debbie and Pastor Jen for sharing the pulpit with me. That doesn't happen in a lot of churches, and especially in a church where we've had two pastors, where we've had two pastors and associate pastor. So I am so thankful that I am here and they are willing to share the pulpit with me. I thank them for their humility in allowing me to bring the message to you today. I'd also like to thank Derek and Kelsey for indulging me in picking the song that Derek sang to you today, I Am Not Alone. It's a recent song, it's a contemporary song, but it reflects back on some things in my life that just really touches me. So before we get a little farther, will you pray with me? Oh Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord our God, Jesus the Christ, our Redeemer. The scripture that was read to you this morning is one of my favorite stories in the Bible. It actually starts in chapter 42 and continues on through chapter 50. And I'm sure you're glad we didn't read all that this morning. But I'm telling you, it is a story worth reading. I would ask you to read it sometime this week. It is one of the greatest reconciliation stories in the Bible. It's a suspense story. As it speaks about Joseph meeting his brothers, and they don't recognize him because he's changed. He's dressed differently from them. He's been in Egypt. And he has risen to the second most powerful place in Egypt, only second to the Pharaoh. As it speaks about Joseph meeting his brothers and they don't recognize him, he recognizes them. And how many times he does these little things to test them, to get information on their lives, to see how many times if they've changed because they sold him into slavery. And many times as I'm reading this story, it's like when I'm watching a movie and they're drawing it out and drawing it out. And I just want to say, tell him, Joseph, come on, tell him. And the suspense finally builds and he does finally tell them who he is. He speaks about forgiveness and how God was involved in the whole process. Chapter 45, verse 5 says, and do not now be distressed, and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now there has been famine in the land, and for the next 5 years there will be no plowing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. Wow. You talk about living out one of the favorite verses in the Bible of me, one of my life verses, Romans 8, verse 28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good, for those who loved Him and are called according to His purpose. All the suffering that Joseph, his fathers, and their brothers went through, it doesn't look like it, but it all worked for good. Sometimes it doesn't seem like it when we are going through painful things in our lives. But when I am, and I'm going to ask you to, when you are going through some just terrible times, I want you to think about that verse from Romans. For in all things, God works for the good who are called according to His purpose. As human beings, we sometimes don't listen to God and how it delays things. Jacob wouldn't let his sons return immediately in the story, thereby holding up the reunion and reconciliation. But it all happened in God's perfect timing. Don't we often hold God back by listening and not listening to the Holy Spirit, urging us to forgive and to reconcile those people we know and we love? That's a reconciliation story from the Bible. I'm going to share with you three reconciliation stories of the present. I believe they're pretty good examples of reconciliation. I know a woman who had a very tough childhood because of a divorce of her parents. Divorce is quite common now, too common in fact, but in the 1940s it wasn't very common. A single mother raised this woman, listen to this, with six of her siblings. Think about that for a minute. In the 1940s, a single mother with seven kids. But life goes on, and so did hers. When this woman was in her 30s, she received a knock on the door from an older woman who she didn't know. The older woman wanted her to go see her husband, who happened to be the father of the woman who answered the door. The father was very sick and was asking for the woman. She hadn't seen or heard from her father in decades. But after a lot of soul searching, the woman did go and see her father. He got better. And after the woman who asked this woman to go see her father, that was the man's second wife, the older woman died. And after that, the father came to live with this woman. Of course, the mother found out. And she said to her daughter, "I will never darken the house of your door again." Not a true statement, because the woman's mother in her old age actually lived at her house also. So that's kind of a Pretty good reconciliation story, don't you think? Tough things. A single mother, 7 kids in the 40s. The second one involves a couple that looked like they had a good marriage. The husband and the children, they attended church every Sunday. The wife didn't. But other than that, it seemed to be a really good marriage. They had 3 great children and life looked very good from the outside. They were married for 15 years, but the woman hardly ever attended church. But the marriage appeared to be very strong. At least it was strong from the husband's point of view. It was a good marriage for him anyway. As the story goes, they became separated and things were pretty tough. 3 kids. Mom and dad separated. Things worked out and the couple got back together. The woman now attends church every Sunday, is a graduate of a disciple Bible class, and is involved in helping the least, the last, and the lost in the community through her work and through her service to Jesus Christ. Quite a good reconciliation story, huh? The third story involves another couple who got married, was divorced, and remarried each other. I'm not making this stuff up. These are true stories. I grant you these things don't happen all the time, but they do happen. People can be reconciled to each other out of the darkest situations, out of situations that look like they have no hope. God can do it. And you can do it with His help. Now there are some times you can be reconciled without the help of God. We know of many people who have reconciled that don't know God or have Jesus part of their life. It can happen. But when it really gets tough, when the things just look so bleak, we need God. We need His Holy Spirit. We need a personal relationship with Jesus Christ who can intervene for us. If you haven't guessed it by now and you know me, you probably know 2 of those stories, but you may not. I've been a part of every one of those stories. The woman in the first story was my mom. My mom. I'll take it a little side because it's getting a little deep now. But we can never figure out my grandma. She was the meanest. I mean, when you were a little kid, she was the meanest. I mean, we feared. You know, most people love when grandma comes to visit. When my grandma came to visit, we were in terror. And later on, my mom actually told us stories. My grandma had a unique way of disciplining the children, 7 of them. They all had to go get a lilac switch. And when there was trouble in the house, it didn't matter who caused the trouble, they all had a lilac switch and they had to get in a circle. And the person behind the person in front had to hit the person in front with the lilac switch. And if Grandma didn't think they were hitting hard enough, Grandma took it upon herself. Now, can you imagine? Can you imagine? And I'm not condoning that, but probably was pretty effective. I don't know how it scarred them later on in their life, but think about that. The couple in the second story is Angel and I. And the couple in the third story is my daughter Erica and Danny. Some people might look at our family and think we have it all together. Forget it. We don't have anything together. But I share these stories with you just to open up my life to you and let you know that Jesus Christ was in the middle of every one of those stories. My mom is the most dedicated Christian person I have ever known. She was crass. She did some terrible things when I was growing up that I thought were terrible. At one time, I told her at one of my mom used to coach, referee, umpire, and run the concession stand all at the same time. And for a 12-year-old kid, or really actually a 9-year-old kid, to hear your mother yelling at your fellow teammates and yelling at the umpire, and this is a Christian woman, right? But she was so passionate about her kids and about her life. So when I was a teenager, I actually had to have a conversation with my mother that said, "You either quit yelling at my ball games or don't come." My dad wouldn't sit with her ever. He would be at the far end of the field smoking his pipe, and my mom would be in the concession stand. You know what? I look around this room and I know you people have stories of reconciliation just as amazing as the ones I shared with you. I know you. But I would submit to you that probably God was involved in every one of them. Because I know you. God has, in the case of Joseph, been involved in unbelievable reconciliation stories in the past. In my case, He is involved in the present in reconciliation stories. And I'm sure, I am positive, He will be involved in amazing stories in the future. I know that without God's help, my reconciliation would have never happened with Angel. Or Danny and Erica's. Or my mom's. We are a people of reconciliation. It's in our past. It's in our present. And it will be in our future. How do I know this? Well, the best reconciliation story of all involves each and every one of us. I can't say it any better than the Bible. That's a joke, right? So here is the greatest reconciliation story of all time. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 16 to chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. We live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please Him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Since then, we know what it is to fear the Lord. We try to persuade men. What we are is plain to God. I hope it is also plain to your conscience. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but we are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than what is in the heart. If we are out of our mind, it is for the sake of God. But if we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And He died for all that those who live shall no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them and was raised again. And here's the part. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we no longer do so. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We therefore are God's, Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. As God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For He says, in the time of my favor, I helped you. I heard you. And in the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. I'm sorry, I got a little confused. I have marks in my Bible, so I gave you a little bit more. I started at verse 6 instead of 16, so I apologize. You have been reconciled with God, your Creator, through Christ. This gives you the power, through His Holy Spirit, to be reconciled with anyone who needs it. Will you do that today? Will you, right there in your seat, take it upon yourself to be reconciled to those in your life who you need to be reconciled with? You can do it with God's help. Let me give you a clue. It won't be easy. It will not be easy. You know, it wasn't easy for Joseph. It wasn't easy for my mom. It wasn't easy for Erica and Danny. And it wasn't easy for Angel and I. Think of all the things that we went through. And I'm not up here showing my banner. I'm sharing these you stories so that you know how fallible I am. But I got Jesus. And He made all the difference. Will it be worth it to be reconciled? Yahoo! it's worth it. Let's pray. Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You are the reconciler. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.